All right, you ready?
Yeah, 100 billion gazillion percent.
All right, yo, what's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome to episode 88 of The Breeze Podcast, where your word of mouth is our, what is it?
Oxygen.
Okay, I am John McCollin here with the boy.
Victor White.
Yo, we gotta finish each other's sentences, you know what I mean? Like, we gotta get on that level.
John, I think it's your new songwriting stuff that's made you more alert, as well as the fact you probably climatized to Canada by now. Because a year ago,
true,
I'd call you Zombie McCollin. But now, it's like we have, I don't know how to word it, John. But John, I was...
Bro, if we're on this podcast and we don't evolve and we don't change, like, I feel like that's a disservice. You know what I mean? Like, and that's... Actually, I want to talk about that today as well, so we'll get into that. But I feel like, yeah, man, we're not the same people we were when we started.
No, 100%. And that's also something that I wanted to talk about. How, you know... I wouldn't say I look down on single people, but you know, as a person in a relationship, you know, it's just like it's easy to take the high road and look down on everyone else, but you got to remember that single people are also human beings, you know.
Yeah, people are people, bro. People are people. Lynn, can we roll the intro? Thank you very much. Yo, talk to me, man. Talk to me. What's good? What's good? How's your life? How's your week?
I finished the last maths exam today, bro.
How does that feel?
It'll feel better when I get into the school. But right now, it's a weight off my shoulders. Like, you know, And I feel like there's only two, like, so I don't know what it is. I did get stuck on this one question where I definitely went into the rabbit hole, like I explained I did on the other maths test. However, It was a question regarding loans and the interest rate. And it didn't say if it was a solid interest rate or a progressive interest rate. So I was like, I better make all three calculations that are possible. And that took some time.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
One of them has to be right.
Yeah, but it was a C question worth 2 points. And I feel like they want to see that you know the terms and like the ideas behind what you're calculating, you know? But I figured...
Did you finish, though?
Yeah. But it was a bit...
Okay, you're back.
But if I hadn't spent that time on that question, then I'd be... Then I'd have more time to the last two hard ones. I did nail the last hard one, I think, but the second to last hard one, I didn't nail. But all in all, I hope I ace this. I will know within 10 days.
Yeah, you should be fine. Like, honestly, like, the hardest thing about exams is not even, like, studying for it. Yeah. It's all about the strategy when you're in the exam.
You know
what I mean? Like, I've seen, like, the smartest people, like, bomb at exams just because they want to be meticulous about everything.
Yeah.
But then, like, I learned, like, in undergrad, it's all about, yo, what's the highest weighted question? Like, as soon as I open a paper, I'm like, which question is worth the most?
Okay.
All right, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
And then it's like after that.
Mm-hmm.
So for when you start undergrad, that's like a strategy.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of crazy. So the maths test exam that I did back in February, the most difficult one, maths 3B, that one was the one that went the best, that flowed the most. I got stuck one time, went into a rabbit hole, but I came out the other side. Like, after spending 40 minutes on this one equation, I solved it in 5 minutes. But then on my second maths test that I did, I don't remember, like a month ago or something, on maths 2A, which is quite a lot easier than maths 3B, Then I took your strategy that you just said, And what happened then was I spent too much time on the difficult questions and had to stress the easy ones.
I feel you.
And then on this one, I did it the traditional way, like 1 to 30 or however many ones.
I guess you know? It's different for each people. Like each one is, everyone is different. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like for me, there's some exams when you do it sequentially and it's like, it flows amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's easy, true. easy. And then you get a question, all right, it builds your confidence, you can move to the next one. But then there's some exams, which is like majority of my undergrad exams were just like, they were made for you to fail.
Yeah, and I mean? Feel in so those like, scenarios, your strategy is probably way better because then you can work on the things you're good at and strong at, you know?
Yeah, that too, like, I feel like it has a psychological effect because you overcome like the hard, like quote unquote, what do you think is the hardest question?
Yeah.
You then when I approach the easier questions, quote unquote, it's like, I got this, you know what I mean? And then like, okay.
Easy. Yeah.
But I feel like time management is, that's the most difficult
100%.
Thing.
100%. Like, but the conclusion that I drew from today is that because I find myself counting on my fingers and I don't shame counting on my fingers. Like if that's going to make me correct, then.
If it works, it works, bro.
Yes, yes. But I'm not sure what it is. But I'm not the fast mathematician. Like, I'm glad I proved to myself that I could ace the hardest course. And that means a lot to me. But on every course, I've been tight on time, you know? I feel like I don't know, maybe just going to claim that I have dyslexia so I can get extra time and don't have to stress. No disrespect to people with dyslexia. I have, no disrespect at all. But I just feel it's retarded to put time pressure on something. Like, why?
Do you have to take an exam to do that? Like, exam to
God, I don't have dyslexia.
I know. I don't know. Be like, I don't know if you just walk in and be like, hey, guys.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that'll work. I don't know.
Or maybe like a doctor's note. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
But yeah, I feel like, I don't know.
But I feel like if you think about it, John, first of all, like, what type of exam could possibly benefit a time limit? If you're a surgeon or whatever, and you're in med school, and you're doing surgery on a pig, and it's an exam surgery, then obviously it makes sense to have a time limit on it, because the pig or the person would die if you take too long. But if it's, like, maths, or I don't know, English or sweet, like, it doesn't make sense to put time pressure on you. I think if you did a case study that probably like 80% at least, maybe, I don't know, but would perform better if there was no time limit, that you didn't have that element of stress on you.
I get what you're saying, but I feel like I come from a different perspective where I take, like, okay, yeah, it's a time pressure, but I took a lesson away from that. You know what I mean? So going to school in the Caribbean, you wouldn't know this, but undergrad in the Caribbean is probably the hardest undergrad there is. Yeah. You know what I mean? Especially engineering.
Pass or fail.
So what I took away from it is like, okay, time management. If I'm able to manage my time under pressure, I hated it. I hated having to be under pressure. Yeah. But now you're in the real world.
Yeah.
I can manage my, like, that's the only lesson I took. Like, I don't remember anything from
those
exams.
Yeah, but
bro,
I'm with your hand. Like, let's be honest, I thrive under pressure. Like, I've lived in the highest competitive environment there is, where you have to perform under pressure. Like, that's my shit. But I just feel like for the majority of people, and I mean,
100%.
And if you look at your, like, elementary school class, if you look at the variety of people, the people that would perform good under pressure versus the people that would benefit from not having a time limit and actually be able to perform their best.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, when you look at it in the macro, it doesn't make sense. Like, the whole point of doing this is to learn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're not facilitating, like, the optimal level of learning, which majority of schools in Barbados, I say Barbados because that's where I did most of my schooling, in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Like, that's, they don't facilitate for that. You know what I mean? Like, you do an exam and you forget you're just trying to.
Yeah.
That don't make no sense.
And like, you know, back to the breeze kind of vibe, you know, this, and I believe we've touched upon this like one of the few industries that has not innovated in what, like 150 years is schooling. Like how the frick can you measure something by how much information you can keep in your brain when we have smartphones that can perform a gazillion times better, which is what you'd use out in the real world.
True.
It's like
but even if we bring like this, it's an interesting perspective as well.
Yeah.
Because you have the Swedish Scandinavian perspective.
Yeah.
And like me in the Caribbean is actually horrible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We still have 11 plus, bro.
Yeah.
And like we're still like judging a fish. We're still judging how great a fish is by how great it can climb a tree.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Against monkeys.
Yeah.
Like obviously the monkey will win, bro.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we're still doing, and then that's how it goes into that cycle of how we get individuals that fall through the cracks, and then they go
The block. Like, and like once again, back to the Breeze vibe and world and our worlds, like in the corporate environment, like as an example, you don't look at who can perform a thing under this amount of time. Yes, of course, it's crucial to be able to deliver your assignments in time at your work, but what you look for is how to bring out the best of people and make them perform at their highest possible level. That's what you want, you know. There's a reason why Apple doesn't need to see a college degree anymore. Like, just take coding as an example. How many self-taught coders are there? Like, there's so many, you know?
Yeah, this is a thing too. Like, when you look...
Like, you know the engineers. You always speak to the engineer crowd.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just going on that, on keeping in line with our values and what we do here.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like when we... Okay, job interviewing on the whole is stressful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, to that point, in terms of how exams are structured, like... The greatest firms that we want to be in, like if you look at McKinsey, if you look at Facebook, if you look at Google, those interviews are basically exams.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you look at what the case interview is for McKinsey, it's an exam. You have 30 minutes. No, you have 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And the man is pressuring you to come up with a solution.
Yeah.
When you're doing a coding interview, like...
You get a problem to solve.
You have a problem, and the guy is on Zoom, like looking at your shit, and it's like, okay, can't solve this problem. You got 10 minutes. I have some other stuff to do. You know what I mean? So like, in the grand scheme of things, like I understand why we have those time pressures because people like time is money. Still,
yeah. You know yes, what I mean? Obviously.
But like in terms of facilitating learning, I don't see why it should be there for school. I understand why it should be there for the corporate world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. I feel like I feel like there's so many like uncut gems in the world that'll never get polished because of the fact that schooling hasn't been innovated for the past 150 years. And it's about time that happens, you know? It's about time that we tackle that issue. Like, our kids, John, are probably going to grow up with more or less the same school system that we had, with the exception that they might get taught coding, you know?
True. You need to learn coding, bro. Yeah. Like, kids should be learning coding in primary school, elementary school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well,
anyway, that's what it is.
So, what about your week?
That was intense. Speaking of school.
Yeah.
I officially graduated.
Congrats.
Officially. Appreciate you. So I had my convocation last Friday.
Yeah.
We had like a ring ceremony. Okay. So we had like say the pledge.
Oh, wow.
And they all sent us our, we got like an Ivy pledge, I would say.
Oh, wow.
So now I'm officially part of like the Ivy alumni.
Nice.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
I'll get my ring. I'll get my certificate soon.
You get an Ivy ring.
Yeah, like a...
ring. Like pure gold?
I think it's silver. I don't know what it is.
Okay. I hope that's like included in the tuition fee or
Yeah. Yo, I didn't have to pay for it.
the amount of money, like,
yo, graduations included, fuck, everything.
Oh,
included,
I was bro, about to swear. Can you imagine? Put a big diamond on rough. It, like, at least, like.
But nah, that happened. That's cool.
Yeah.
I recently got back on my routine, okay. like my daily routine.
Yeah.
I know it's quarantine, so like I was waking up later, like 8 o'clock. I would consider to be later, but now I'm back on like waking up super early, knocking out my morning routine, that's meditating.
It. I'm getting fit, John.
Exercising.
You see?
I see you, bro. I see you, bro.
I'm getting fit. I'm flexing for John here. You know, 100 push-ups a day, out running. You know, things.
Yo, that's not our demographic.
Luckily, this is only audio, so you guys can just picture. Like, I don't know, like picture like The Rock or like I don't know, like the notorious MMA, Conor McGregor, like Floyd Mayweather. You know, when he's super slim and fit, like that's essentially what I look like right now. And if you want to picture John, just think of Homer Simpson or the Peter in Family Guy.
Can you
imagine?
I'd switch that
around. I'm kidding.
I'd flip that. That's reasonable.
So guess who?
But nah, that's it.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I have had two effed up dreams. One that I can talk about. Guess who I met last night?
Ray Dalio.
No, not Ray D. Not Uncle Dalio. I met, now I forgot his name, the guy that I always bring up on the podcast, the Canadian-born, how can I forget his name? Social, he started social.
The guy that we had in the cover the other day. Elon
yeah, Musk. No, with Richard Branson.
Richard Branson.
What's his name? I just need to open up YouTube and he'll pop up in my like suggested videos because I watch him so much. But yeah, what this is frustrating when you know a name. Yes,
it's there.
Shamat Papliatia. and I met him and we're on a bus or something. And I was like, bro, I seriously think you're going to be more successful than Warren Buffett. Like, look at your first year returns. They're like 1,800%. Buffett only had 800%. And that's what he says on interviews. And he was like offended that I even stated that he was going to be more successful than Buffett. Because it's so obvious to him, you know?
That's wild.
But that was sick. I don't remember too much of the dream, but I've had some crazy dreams actually. But
that's reasonable.
Do you remember your dreams often, or like?
When I do remember them. Yeah, mm-hmm. I wake up when I write it down. Actually,
what's the craziest dream you've had? Do you have like one dream that you remember that's like that was crazy?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Okay.
I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like my dreams are like super lucid, so when I dream it's like if I wanna fly, like I can fly, yeah, like that's like nice. Stuff like that, like some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But I can't say I remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So they haven't obviously been that crazy.
Because if you ask me about a crazy dream, and this was a nightmare that I was battling for a large part of my childhood. So the first time I met my good ski friend Gabriel Gabbe, he were skiing in this ski resort in Sweden, in Stockholm actually. And I was fairly good, so I was pushing it, doing crazy stuff, and we're young. So then he felt that he had to show off, and his older brother was there, and the older brother was like, look at what Victor is doing. Like, you have to do something crazy too now, Gabby. So he hits the big kicker, tons of speed, overshoots it, lands on his back, and gets carried away by an ambulance. So after that, I dreamt that I crashed on my skis and died quite frequently.
You died in your dream?
I've died multiple times in my dream.
Yeah, I've never died. Like, every time I'm about to die, I wake up.
Yeah. But the thing is, when you die and when you realize you're dead, you also realize you're... Sometimes I'm like, oh, is this... Because I have gotten the feeling that death is super pleasurable. That is nothing to be scared of, which is the nice thing. But then I've also felt that, oh, I'm dead. Wait, I can't be dead and think, okay, this is a dream, you know? But I have felt like it's weird. Fair. When I dreamt that I was in a plane crash, when I died, it's like this warm, fuzzy feeling in all of your body. And it's like, and it's just like, you know, there's nothing to be scared about when it comes to death. But yeah, but the thing that's boring, I believe, like, if we're gonna get candid on the podcast, I think that it's just pitch black and you're gone. It's like when you sleep or before you're born, you don't know that. So, and that's the thing that I got confirmation from, like, you know.
I feel you.
Which I...
Yo, this just took a dark turn, bro.
Which is why we on the Breeze podcast believe on the simulation theory, so it's fine.
Yo, get your simulation theories up.
Yeah.
Go listen to some Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And crap, I was supposed to send you that video. Yeah. I'll send you that video as soon as we're done about the inner world theory.
Guys, we're essentially doing a short episode, so we're not going to have our segments, etc. on this one. But obviously, we still want to bring you value. But like both John and me, we're busy people. We're not making you feel like, you know, we're not pressuring you to feel grateful for us taking the time out of our day to record this podcast. And for you then, because of us guilt tripping you, go in on iTunes and every other platform and rate us.
Anchor, Spotify, doesn't matter, rate us.
But if you want to do that, that's completely fine and we'd appreciate that. But what I wanted to come to is the fact that history is probably going to be made today with the SpaceX launch. SpaceX. The first company to ever launch humans into space.
Yo, do you know what's crazy that NASA hasn't... there's been no one going to space from American soil in like 10 years?
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Because it's so expensive. It was so expensive. You know, and it was a big driver of that whole thing was the Cold War. Like
they're paying, but they also pay Russia. Yeah, they pay Russia.
Yeah, but if you think that's crazy, John, how crazy is it that we went to the moon in 1969 or 67 or 68 and haven't been back since?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, are you fully under the belief that the Americans went to the moon first?
Okay, yeah.
Because here's the thing, like I was watching History 101 on Netflix, right? And Russia was like leading the space race.
Okay.
Russia was the first to get into orbit. Yeah. Russia was the first to get a man into space. Russia was the first to. They were like 5-0. Bluff?
Who knows?
They were like 5-0. Yeah. 5-0. Yeah. Like the US could even get a rocket out of, launched.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, yo, we made it to the moon. So it's.
Okay, John,
why haven't they gone back to the moon?
Okay, so John, but why didn't anyone else go to the moon then? I have all these crazy...
Other people have been to the moon. U.S. wasn't the only people to go to the moon.
Oh, I thought they were the first, but other nations have been to the moon.
Yeah, like this, they claim they're the first. Like
they have? Other nations have been to the moon? How many people I'm pretty sure other nations have been to the moon? Okay. In total, 12 astronauts have walked on the moon, including, other 10 who made the moon, 5 NASA launches. Oh, apparently, so there's only the U.S. that's made it to the moon, apparently, according to this.
Yo, I have another, I actually have another source.
Okay.
From Statista, which is very reliable.
Okay.
7 countries have been to the moon.
Okay.
The U.S.
Okay. Yeah, but...
Russia.
Yeah.
China.
Yeah.
Japan.
Okay.
India.
Okay.
Luxembourg.
Like people and not objects.
This is... These are people that landed on the moon.
Okay. Why is the Wikipedia... Wait, what's this? Apollo astronauts flew to the moon without landing. Why is the Wikipedia page only showing Americans?
Yo, is that who owns Wikipedia, bro?
What? SpaceX? Is this like some kind of...
I know. that would be some Russia's wild thing that we just discovered on the podcast.
Moon landing. Okay, can we crude? Anyhow, what I wanted to say, John, is that, like, can we all these like controversies, etc. Like, I like there's a wild one which I came up with myself, that these nations like U.S. and China and Russia, they colluded to start the coronavirus just to get a travel ban on, to make sure that nothing goes wrong with the SpaceX launch, since it's the first company to launch people into space. Mm-hmm. You know, but let's not talk about conspiracy theories.
Yeah, we can go on a rabbit hole.
Yes,
like that,
bro. you can. But what I wanted to say is, John, can we agree that people have been to the moon?
Yeah. I'm not doubting that people haven't been to the moon.
And the fact that the first private company now, like the first company, only that, like, that's the thing, only nations have launched things like people.
It's all been government funded.
Yeah, like, and this is the thing. It's the space industry, because you and I, we're gonna, in 15 years, we'll be able to go on space holiday, like, and it'll be safe. Like, SpaceX, they've had 63 consecutive launches with their Falcon, right? Those odds are good. But is space, is that the new internet? Like, what the internet was in the 2000s?
You mean if that's the next revolution?
Yeah.
In terms of, I don't think so. I'll tell you why I don't think so.
Okay, tell me, and then I'm gonna.
I don't. Yeah? Like, I think there is a lot of money in space exploration when it comes to mining different materials, like, or you only get in space. You know what I mean? I think it's a very niche market in terms of space travel.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the 1% of the 1% will probably get the opportunity to do that. If you're talking, like, the reason that I say is different, because internet is something that...
Yeah, it's
that's
so...
That's a global thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's like a...
Yeah.
I think if it's a fad, if we're talking about what's the next wave that entrepreneurs like Elon Musk and the Jeff Bezos and the Richard Bransons, then yeah, that's the next... That's where they're trying to get made their next, like, billion. Yeah,
I'm listening.
For sure. But I don't think, like, it's not something, I can't compare it to the internet.
So, John, 100 years ago, to cross the Atlantic, you had to take a boat. Today, the flights are accessible to pretty much everyone at an affordable price, right?
Yeah.
And it's correct. It's fairly safe. So...
Yes.
Let's say, so in 80 years, because we also know, like, it's not a linear curve, right? It's exponential. So wouldn't you think that if we get, like, this AI, like, artificial intelligence with general thinking and whatever, and that thing can do these extreme calculations, etc., and we now have a sustainable way to travel in and out of space, that...
But what's the market? That's my question. Like, what are you going to do? Like, you're just going to do it?
Yeah.
And to rebuttal your point, like,
but
we used to take a boat.
I love this.
It never used to cost $10 million.
No, but at some
per
point...
Per person to go from Europe to USA.
So don't...
And I agree with you.
Yeah.
It is exponential. Yeah. All this, like, I don't doubt that we'd be able to go to space for... As much as we go to a plane ticket, like buy a plane.
So you
ticket.
Don't
doubt
you,
that. I don't.
You think that'll be possible to go to space for?
I think it will be possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, if we're just going for like the fun of it, like I don't see it.
So I think if you asked people 20 years ago or 30 years ago about the internet, you know, not that we're, you know, we're obviously educated and stuff like that and like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that this could, this kind of maybe has the same potential, you know, because what Jeff Bezos is talking about when he talks about Blue Origin is that like with Amazon, he was able to be successful because all these systems, these infrastructural logistical systems were already in place with the postal service, etc. And then the internet came, right? So the infrastructure was there whereupon he could build his thing. Now, he's saying like in his lifetime, he want to build the space infrastructure for the next wave of entrepreneurs so that then they can build something like... Bro, like, if you look, like, there's literally one thing in space that, like, why is the ISS so small? Why don't we have, like, at least, like, a Luxembourg-sized thing that circulates the Earth? Like, how difficult is it to send, like, a small one-bedroom apartment up to space each year? That shouldn't be that difficult. Yo,
because, like, there's so many dumps, like... Okay, all these things are in orbit.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. There's so many satellites in orbit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we can't have, like, a big-ass, like, Barbados-size... I don't know. Probably not Barbados-size. Like, there's going to be a point where... Like, it's so much coordination. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's why I'm thinking, like, they're even thinking beyond orbit.
Yeah.
That's probably what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But, like, we're on the same page when it comes to people being able to go... To space.
Yeah. Like, but I agree with John, you've seen SpaceX. Have you seen SpaceX's visualization of their 72,000 satellites in orbit?
Yeah.
Like the space is like it's huge, you know. Like what I mean is like the Earth is so huge, so it takes so much. Like it's insane, bro. Like 72,000 satellites surrounding Earth coordinated. Like even though there's 72,000 satellites, I don't know how many are up there now, but even with them up there, it would be difficult to hit one. Like the odds are like minimal of hitting a satellite.
Yeah, but that's like what's the size of a satellite, you know?
They're pretty big.
But I mean, like, compared, like, what you were talking about in terms of, like, making them bigger.
Yeah, but I mean...
Like, ISS is pretty big.
Yeah, I mean...
Like,
Yeah, to be in space, it's big, but I just feel like, how come it's so small? Like, it's been there for so many years, bro. Like, it... But this is why Elon is doing what he's doing. Like, he's like, what's the plan to go to Mars? He couldn't find anything, and that inspired him to do this whole thing, and now he's doing it tonight. I hope they launch.
4 o'clock, yeah. 4 o'clock, my time.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. Oh, wow.
It's wild.
Yeah,
me, like, we're on the same page, I think. I just don't see, like, the, like, when you compare it to the internet.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah, obviously, it's different. Obviously, it's different. Oh, yeah. It's,
you know what I mean?
It's a bit, yeah. Like, the internet is essentially accessible to everyone. Space travel, like, what's, you know, it's a... But I'm just thinking like, okay, so where is the next revolution coming from? Like if we
can think futuristic, we could be, okay, so we're in space. What are we trying to do in space? Like, okay, do you want to have, like, for what Richard Branson is pushing for, is like space tourism.
Yeah.
Which is like.
Yeah. So you have three lanes, like, right?
Tourism, mining, and. What's the other one?
No, so what I was thinking, mining is one too, but from what I've scattered and picked up on the internet, that's not the priority when it comes to space. So Branson is tourism, Musk is inhabit, what's it called, Mars, and Bezos believes that we should build like a huge thing that just floats in space. He has a presentation on that, you can search for it, like essentially build a floating city in space. It's what he pushes for. Because he's like, Mars is so unreasonable. It's so far away.
It's not that far away.
Well, depends. Depends on what you measure, you know, against. Like, what scale you use. I mean,
yeah. True.
Well,
that's a good conversation. Yeah. Wait, in other news, yeah. Elon Musk is also... Elon Musk's child had a software update. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
Yeah, her name has changed a little bit.
Two.
It got updated.
Is it a her?
I don't know. I don't know the gender. I just know it got updated.
What?
It got updated. What? And people were like, oh, yo, Elon Musk is Garf. Like,
child.
He just got his first, like, software update.
Name. I'm searching update. Update. Elon Musk changed their baby's name. Okay, they've changed the baby name. What have they changed a bit? Okay, that's the title. CNN Entertainment. Elon Musk and Grimes have changed their baby's name a bit. Okay, so what have they changed it to then? Okay, that's the old name.
Isn't that hilarious?
Okay, however, speculation arose that the unusual moniker might fall afoul of the law in California where the couple live, as names can only use the 26 alphabetical characters of English of the English language according to the state constitution. Okay, so what's the new name? Oh. Okay. So the new name is XAE, which is pronounced Ash, Elon explained on Joe Rogan podcast. And then it's A, and then a dash, X, double I.
That's hilarious.
X-Ash-I-X-I. I don't know how to.
Yeah, don't even try it.
X stands for the unknown variable. The AE is 11. It's the 11th spelling of AI. What? Artificial intelligence, the word for love in several languages. A12, precursor to SR-17, our favorite aircraft. The A in the name also represents Wow.
Yo. Extra.
Okay, well, let's end it on baby names then.
Yeah, we end it on that software update. And we'll see y'all next week, guys. I appreciate y'all.
Peace out, guys. Thanks for listening.
Peace.